You're listening to Sunday Reflections on Gripped. So you're very welcome to our Gospel Reflections here from St. Mary's Pope's Quay in Cork. So a question for you. What is it like to be on the outside, to be misunderstood, to have to ring a bell if you're approaching so people can avoid you? And that's what our 10 lepers in this Sunday's Gospel, that's their life, that's their reality. On the outside, being misunderstood and having to ring a bell to tell people that they're approaching so they can avoid them. The Irish, we have had our moments of discrimination being on the outside. We know the penal laws, we weren't allowed by land, we weren't allowed to bring our children up as Catholics. We were not allowed to enter the law, not be allowed to become barristers, and we couldn't run for elected office. Only back in the 1860s on, there were signs up in London and the US, help wanted, look at people looking for jobs, but no Irish need apply. And then only in the six counties in the 1960s, Catholics had to fight for the right to vote, that one man, one vote, because we were discriminated against. If you didn't pay rates, you didn't have a vote. We know other races experience discrimination. We have the civil rights movement in America, where there was segregation in shops and schools and even on buses, people marked out and discriminated against. When one is discriminated against, they need somewhere to call home, a family, a community. One thing we note about this group of 10 lepers in Sunday's Gospel is that they were from very different backgrounds. There were Samaritans, there was Jews in this group of 10, and possibly Greeks, and yet they were united as a family of sorts as they lived and ate together, united by their illness. So we have comparisons there. The lepers then were on the margins. Christians today, we know that we feel like at times on the margins. The 10 lepers were a mixed bag, as we mentioned, from various different groups that would otherwise have never mixed. We know that Samaritans and Jews were in conflict, but yet there was a community there of lepers. And we Christians, we know, we're a very mixed bag, all different backgrounds and cultures, and yet we are a community of believers. The family of lepers, united by illness. The family of Christians, we're united by the Holy Spirit through our baptism in the body of Christ. We mentioned that last week, the mystical body of Christ. So Jesus heals them. He heals them by words and brings the lepers back into society. Obviously, they are marginalized, but then being healed, as we have with Simon the leper, being mentioned in the Gospels. Simon the leper invited Jesus to a meal. Obviously, Simon was somebody that Jesus had healed in the past from leprosy. So the 10 lepers are now back into society. And Jesus heals us Christians, through the cross, and brings us into his society through baptism, which will always remain. This society we call the church, his body, will always remain in tension with secular society. As we mentioned, this body of Christ that unites us has all sorts in us, all nations, all backgrounds, all ages. Today in Europe, we know that when we speak up, we put ourselves on the outside. We as Christians speak up now in the workplace, in school, in college, out in the marketplace, we put ourselves on the outside, and we have that imagery of people again ringing the bell, but this time to avoid us, to say avoid. And so the temptation for us in those circumstances is to hide our mark, hide who we are. That permanent mark, the mark of being a Christian that cannot be removed, our baptism. We cannot be unbaptized, but we can hide this fact to fit in with secular society. But there's many out there who do have courage. The Church of England did a survey there not too long ago and found that 63% of those who were surveyed felt that Christians faced discrimination at work. And two cases in England, one was Caroline Petrie, who was suspended from work for offering to pray for a patient's recovery. And a receptionist at a school, a Jenny Can, faced disciplinary action by her school employer after asking friends to pray for her daughter. In Ireland, we have a county council in Munster who was brought to court, brought to the Equality Tribunal by an employee, and the employee won, 70,000 euros because the tribunal found that he was discriminated against over his religion. It started with a complaint over him speaking about his faith in the office. And wait for this one. He was later suspended without pay for 2 months and was ordered to seek professional help to help him with his compulsive behaviour after he was spotted talking to a man outside a coffee shop about religion. And he was eventually dismissed because he refused to stop speaking about his faith. He won his case, 70,000 euros, thank God, in the Equality Tribunal. And we have the ongoing case of the Burkes, the family of Burkes in Galway, students who are pressing ahead with their legal action. It was heard over the summer, 3 days of a hearing, because they'd been active members in UCG of two college groups, the Christian Union and the campus's pro-life group. However, because they were actively promoting the gospel and the pro-life message on campus, in November 2014, so this has been going on for 5 years, the college banned them for life from all student societies. And we have a similar experience here in UCC, which UCC refused to have a pro-life society. And in Maynooth, I've experienced that myself firsthand, this type of discrimination. The Burkes themselves have said it's been going on for 4 years now, over 4 years, since they've been banned, and they're still pursuing, and please God, they'll have a verdict before December, a result of their discrimination case. So we can see there the courage of people, Christians, standing up for their faith. The more the body of Christ's church gets pushed aside in society and discriminated against, all those it protected are left open to attack. And we see that with the family, and we see that with the unborn child. In all these incidences of discrimination and general difficulties to practice the faith, the body of Christ, the church, it becomes our refuge, our harbour, our means of rest and support. The church, the body of Christ, is the visible manifestation and invisible. Visible has to be a return to real community. Invisible is prayer and sacrifice for each other. And also how we help each other is, as we mentioned last week, that growth in virtue. We grow in virtue for each other, our pursuit of holiness, deepening one's prayer life, trying to avoid sin, and the pursuit of good works helps the whole community of believers. We need community. I see it here, our own Dominican community, which we live in a monastery. There's 12 of us here together, a very mixed bag of backgrounds and experiences and cultures that wouldn't work but for the grace of God. But what a great support community can be, buoyed up, the foundation being the grace of God. And that is the clarion call I feel today for Catholics. Today, community, from Catholic schools to Catholic adult communities. Rod Dreher talks about this in his book, The Benedict Option, something we need to be reflecting upon and discussing. That is, how do we do community in Ireland in 2019?